أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ سے او یو ہو بلیو استعینوا بالصبر والصلاة سیک ہیلپ تھرو پیشنس اینڈ صلاۃ وچ از پریئر نماز ان اللہ مع الصابرین شورلی اللہ از ود دوز ہو آر پیشنٹ. Now, in this verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has particularly addressed the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, or you who have believed. Believed in what? Believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam preached us to believe in Allah and all other things. Seek help, istaeenu, madad mango. So this means general, whatever type of help a person needs. Two things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. With sabri wa salah, with patience and prayers, with salat. Surely Allah is with those who are patient. Inna Allah ma'a sabirin. I am only going to discuss one aspect of this verse, which is seeking help through prayers. The prayers are of different kinds. Faraz prayer, generally when you pray. Then there is Salatul Hajat, prayer of need. And then there is Salatul Istikhara, when you're seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today I am going to elaborate on this lastly mentioned Salatul Istikhara, how to seek and consult and seek guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must have heard about Salat al-Istikhara. It is heard by many, but understood and practiced by very few. While it is extremely important, vital, and most precious thing which one can get in this world after Iman. Why it is important? Salatul Istikhara. Just get any other book which has Salatul Istikhara so we can show them afterwards. Salatul Istikhara. Seeking guidance and good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Little bit of background I will present to you. and the significance of this prayer, and then how to, in practical life, benefit from this precious diamond taught by the beloved of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he taught all of the Ummah. In olden times, ancient times, when people wanted to seek guidance, or they wanted to do anything important, they consult whoever they think, or whoever they thought at that time, who could guide and help them. Sometimes it was just people, when a person asks another person. But when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam appeared in the land of Arabia, at that time people had invented many misguided and wrong way of seeking this kind of consultation. For example, people visited astrologers. Nowadays they do as well. Newspapers, others, radio programs, TV programs, everywhere they are advertised. Now, why do people turn to them? Because it is weakness of the human being, does not know what lies in future. Please, just listen very carefully. Nowadays as well, people turn to astrologers. Why? Because there is one weakness. Because human being wants to be successful. And he knows that if I know the future somehow, what I am going to do now, I am going to start a business or commence a journey or whatever. I am going to do a bath with a share, or I am going to learn knowledge. I am going to marry. I am going to do this particular course in university. I want to select a particular career path. So there is weakness of all human beings here, weak point, that they don't know for certainty what lies in the future. When they don't know, from this weakness, many people take advantage. Astrologers, fortune tellers, now and also at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he announced his prophethood, sorcerers, and also people who have contact with the jinn and shayateen. So at that time of the advent of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was on quite on, you can say, climax, this business. Whenever the Arab, they had any dispute, they used to go to these fortune tellers and astrologers. Najumiyon ke paas jaya karte. And they used to make decisions in their disputes or whatever guidance they wanted. Now Islam came to fulfill all the needs of guidance for the human being. And this was a very important aspect at that time. Everyone wants to know what lies in the future. And only for little benefit, for example, I shall be successful in business or not, On the other hand, they were losing iman. They were becoming mushrikeen, shirk kar rahe the wo, to believe in other people and to do those evil practices which the fortune tellers and magicians told them to do. And it was a custom at that time, even the kings, they used to keep many of these fortune tellers in their courts. Like Pharaoh of different times and kings at different times, they used to consult them to go to a journey or to begin a war, to fight a war, they will lose or not. Obviously, Islam has not stopped people from doing something beneficial, but Islam has taught the humanity to do that in a better way. Islam did not preach not to eat or drink, but it preached and it guided people how to eat and drink and to how to do other things as well, which is a necessity for human being. But they were doing it wrongly, to eat lawful, the etiquettes and the sunnahs of different social acts of day and night. So similarly, this was also a need of human being. Human being wanted to know that I am successful or not. And for this, they were using wrong sources. So Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one day mentioned in front of the companions, O companions, whoever will not seek guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever will not do istikhara before doing something important, whoever will not do, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is a very unfortunate person. وہ ابن آدم کی بدبختی ہے کہ وہ اللہ سے مشورہ نہ کرے. I will ask my neighbor, shall I do this or not? I will ask the university career advisor, shall I adopt this career or not? Neither the university career advisor knows what lies in the future, and neither I know. I will consult, if I am going to start business, the people who are business. Special consultancies, firms, they are to consult everyone who is related to that topic or that part or that activity. But how unfortunate is that person who have a window open to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he can just actually seek guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shall I do it or not? What shall I do? What is good for me? So who takes advice from all people, but do not take advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for whom present, future and past is one thing, and all other ignorant and mischievous ways and trivial ways for as fortune telling and astrology, even they tell you something, for example, maybe they have lied, but that has come true. Even if they tell you something that, you know, after 5 years you will have an accident and this, they don't have the authority to change that. It doesn't matter. So how are these people benefiting? They are always telling 99% lies. But let's assume they are telling the truth, for example. For example, they say you will die after 10 years. Well, this person is going to die. They have no authority to change. Why? How are they benefiting that person? You will have an accident and you will break your legs. ٹھیک ہے. That is why in the Quran it's mentioned in the tafaseer that the fortune teller and astrologers of Pharaoh's court and his, they told Pharaoh, comes in the riwayat of tafaseer, that one child will be born from these children of Israel and who will become a means of declination of your kingdom, destruction of your kingdom. So, when they told this to Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, okay, I know now there will be one child from, male child from the children of Israel. So he ordered his old soldiers and everyone to kill all newborn baby boys from children of Israel. So Quran is come. In the Quran is mentioned. He killed thousands and thousands of babies. All were killed wherever they thought that there is a newborn baby. They went and inquired, and they had spies all around, and they killed. But still, that child was born, and it was brought up in the very house of Pharaoh himself by his sustenance. From his treasury, everything he was benefiting. So, what good had they done, those fortune tellers? They have not done any good, but on the other hand, because of their stupid comment and advice, thousands of innocent people were killed. They brought no good on anything. On the other hand, they became a means to bring evil and destruction and disaster for many families. Because that thousands are boys. If they wouldn't have mentioned this to Pharaoh, he wouldn't have ordered that their baby boys were killed. So you should always remember that if anyone ever thinks about going to these people who were looking at your hands, the lines of your hands, and other things, that even if they suppose they tell you the truth, they have no authority to change anything. Anything good to evil or any harmful thing to good. They will always cause you harm. For example, if a person is happily married, living with his wife, he goes to an astrologer or fortune teller or whoever, and he tells, after 10 years, your wife will become unfaithful and she will leave you. Now let aside when 10 years will come, he will become cynical from now on. And I don't think 10 years will come before, I think in few months actually, she will leave or he will leave because of that. Similar is the case with other things. So even though they were supposedly telling the truth, they are not. Now many people now and then comes program, this was a very great prophecy of Nostradamus and others, actually this happened, he actually fought all this. But no one has benefited yet from the prophecy. Then something happens, and then they understand that's what it was said, for example. What benefit lies? And there are hundreds of interpretations of every. He have not said anything clearly. He's just actually done a poetry of different poems, and everyone interprets them according to their own time. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is unfortunate for the son of Adam not to consult Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aur ibn Adam ki khushbakhti hai ke wo Allah se istikhara kare. And it is, there is great goodness, and that son of Adam is very fortunate ke wo agar Allah se, he consults Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and the companions, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and other companions, they said in the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the dua of istikhara. I said this is the phone number of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you can contact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for guidance. And this person has this facility without any cost for him, and he does not use it, and then day and night he's facing disastrous thing and is failing, who is more unfortunate than that person who have this facility or another? So this is just that facility which a humankind means of communication for seeking guidance. Like in the verse I said to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. There are many prayers which you can ask help through. But this is one of it, which people do not pay much attention to. And once you understand, you will, inshallah, be able to use it in your practical life. Why people do not use it, I also know. Because they don't know how to use and seek guidance. How to get the result from this istikhara. Many people ask me again and again. So I thought I will one time mention it so that if anyone wants in the future, they can just listen to the recorded cassette. It is so important thing when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that that person is unfortunate. So person who done istikhara and have not done istikhara and have commenced doing something very important, he is already unfortunate in the words of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is likely that he is unfortunate. So Quran is very important. Every verse of the Quran, every word of the Quran for the, until the Day of Judgment. Because this is guidance. This gives you guidance to be successful in this life and hereafter. Why importance was given to istikhara? Because istikhara is also guidance of doing anything of this world or hereafter. So that is also a form of guidance. Quran is also a form of guidance. So at that time, there was a flood of these people and the companions, and after the companions, and in the time of Ali radiallahu ta'ala, these people were given very, very severe punishments. So once Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha asked Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes these fortune tellers tell the truth. And you say that they do not go to them. Sometimes they are telling the truth. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered Sayyida Aisha, O Aisha, they have contact with the jinn and shayateens. And shayateens, they are always wandering around here and there near the heavens. They are listening to the angels, what they are saying. We cannot see angels. These shaitans can see angels. So by just seeing angels, anyone does not become a very high stage wali or a person. Neenatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitans are always seeing angels. So when Prophet ﷺ mentioned to the nearest meaning that they go and listen to the from the angels in the heavens where their affairs are given to them, commands are given to them, what is going to happen in the next 24 hours or whenever. Sometimes one or two words they hear and then they come back and to their friends from human beings they tell them and inspire them. And they mix, Prophet said, they have one truth and they mix nine parts of falsehood in it and then they tell. So there is no benefit in there as well. Another significance of istikhara, Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, who written the commentary and interpretation of Quran, Tafsir Ibn Kathir, which is quite famous. He mentioned in his commentary that then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a proposal to marry Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha, Umm al-Mu'mineen, to marry a lady, a cousin of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sending a proposal through another person that go and tell Zainab, my cousin, that I am want to marry her. Now imagine what doubt can there be? And what more good can there be for any woman on earth? That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people yearn to kiss his feet and the dust beneath his feet becomes so blessed that he is proposing anyone for marriage, any woman of that time. It was a very blessed proposal. Now, because Sayyida Zainab and all other companions, they were trained by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam beforehand, when the messenger went and conveyed the message to Sayyida Zainab and said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is proposing marrying you, what do you say? She said, now read the tafsir of Imam Ibn Kathir and you will find the answer she gave. She said, you go back now, I will do istikhara with my Lord and then answer you. Now imagine, on one side the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that his own utterances are wahi. But on the other hand, because she is companion of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and trained by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is proposing for marriage. What goodness more can one have? But she is still saying, acting on the command of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whenever you want to do something, do istikhara. So she did not say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this, and I will. But she said that I will seek guidance, istikhara, consult my Lord as well, because I am making a decision. Marrying Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a small thing. It is blessed, and it can be also, if one does not fulfill the requirements of it and the adab and the etiquette and cannot pay the respect of it, that was also in the mind of Hazrat Zainab, that I am not marrying a normal person. It is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if a slightest disrespect I show somehow, and maybe I actually am deprived of iman rather than actually going near Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So imagine in that she was seeing something, that she was double-minded, and she said, I will consult Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will do istikhara. And me and you doing most important things day and night. Mr. John advised me to do this. This person advised me to do this. I am going this. I am going there. I am going there. Who have no concern for whatever lies in the future for us, is will be good or not. Like blind people, wherever, like sheep, actually one sheep follow the other person going. Everyone following each other, but not following the Lord, not following Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not thinking that what we are, where are we going? Sayyidina Zainab sent the messenger back, and now the barakat of istikhara of Sayyida Zainab was that all of the marriage of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was took place and were arranged by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself and the companions and did nikah here. The barakat of istikhara came out as such of Sayyida Zainab, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala married Sayyida Zainab with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the heavens. They did not have to do nikah on the earth. Because Allah Ta'ala ne kaha ki isne mujhse mashwara kiya hai, although Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually still had a hope on me. And she used to be express the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that my nikah was done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the heavens. Allah subhanahu in the Quran it comes in the last third part of the Quran, if anyone wants to read, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala married her and engaged and did nikah with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So imagine the barakat of istikhara. Ki kitna uski barakat. For what she had in return. So there can be no other thing, more important thing. This means, why I am telling you this story is that sometimes we see there's always benefit in what we are seeing, all the benefit in one thing. On one route, we are seeing that there's no expectancy and no chance of harm. When I can see for sure that I am I will be successful on this path, why should I need to do istikhara? So imagine the state of Sayyidah Zainab, that Prophet ﷺ is proposing something, and she still seeks to, because there can always be the other side as well. One can, many people who, one person came near Prophet ﷺ, and they brought Iman, but they stayed. Actually, then they turned back after for seeing something coming too close, and seeing something, and they became murtad after some time. Then they never came back. So always consult Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do istikhara, like I gave you the example of Sayyidina. So now I come to the istikhara because we don't have much more time as well. What is the istikhara? You read 2 rikat namaz, nafal. No need to worry about the intention, because you do intention in your heart. So I'm just saying 2 rikat namaz, nafal, istikhara. Allahu Akbar, read 2 rikat in the normal way, whenever, before doing something important. Just read the hadith as well. On the authority of Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet would instruct us to pray for guidance in all of our concerns, just as he would teach us a chapter from the Quran. He would say, if any of you intends to undertake a matter, then let him pray 2 nafal units, 2 rakat of nafal, of prayer, and after which he should supplicate. So a person reads 2 rakat, for example, you want to choose a career, you want to choose a business, you want to choose a marrying partner. And after 2 rakat namaz, reading Durood Sharif, he does this dua. Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika. O Allah, I seek your counsel by your knowledge. Because person is saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is for guidance. And guidance is obviously given with knowledge. So a person is presenting the wasila of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika wa astakhdiruka bi'kudratik. And by your power I seek strength. So a person is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have only knowledge what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. He also has power to change anything whichever he wants. To save you anything. From any calamity, any disaster which is benefit. Like I mentioned that this quality, even though the creation have one quality, that even if they know what's going to happen after 5 days, they don't have power to change. وَأَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ الْعَظِيمِ. And I ask you from your immense favor. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ. For verily you are able to do everything. وَلَا أَقْدِرْ. While I am not. وَالتَّعْلَمُ. You know everything. وَلَا عَلَمْ. And I don't know. وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. And you are the knower of the all unseen. All unseen things, the future. Now, this person who is doing istikhara, now he says, اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وآخبة أمري. O Allah, if you know this affair, and here he mentions his need as well, whatever he is going to say. O Allah, if you know this affair to be good for me, my religion, my life, and end. So 3 things. Religion, life, this life, and end. Sometimes you do a beneficial thing, you start a business, but it is good for your life, this life maybe. You're getting lots of money, luxury, everything. you are deprived of iman and amale saliha, and your life hereafter is a disaster for you. And sometimes a thing is good for your akhirat, but you have to sacrifice a lot in this world. So you are also asking goodness of this world. And you are asking to be good at the end as well. Something might be good, very profitable in the beginning, in the middle, but the end might be a disaster. You lose everything, whatever you have. Like those people in World Trade Center who thought we are the most successful people from business point of view, that we are doing business in the World Trade Center. Maybe they have worked there 10, 15 years and were billionaires and millionaires. End was not known by them. So you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it is good for my this life, my akhirat, and to the end, and for my religion, then فَقْدِرْهُ لِي, decree it for me. وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي, and facilitate it for me. ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِي, and then bless me with it. وَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ شَرٌّ لِي فِي دِينِ وَمَعَاشِ وَآخِبَةِ أَمْرِ, and if you know this affair to be bad and evil for me towards my religion, my life, and the end. If it's bad, فَصْرِفُ عَنِّي, then remove it from me. وَصْرِفْنِي عَنْهُ, and remove myself from it, far further away. وَقْدِرْ لِيَ الْخَيْرِ, and decree for me what is good. حَيْثُ كَانَ, wherever it may be. ثُمَّ أَرْضِنِ بِهِ, and then make me satisfied with such. So this dua is finished. So now, just lastly, the most important point I'm going to tell you now. Previously, you can read in the books, you can understand yourself. But the part which I'm going to mention now is the people who is the part which people don't understand what's written in the books. They can find the dua in the book, they can find the two rikats, and they can understand the significance as well to some extent. But how to make use of it now, practical life, I'm telling you now. That's the important one. Three things. First, I will negate the wrong concept people have about it. Many of you might have heard that when you do the istikhara, you should sleep instantly. Definitely, you must sleep instantly. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, and sleep. And whatever dream you see is for your goodness or your benefit, it will indicate. In some books, it so much says, like I mentioned before as well, if you see red color, it means don't go away. If you see green, it means it's okay for you. Well, this is their personal opinion of people, but this is not told by Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm not telling you any additional thing what Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. That was personal opinion. They are not so much valid and authentic. Why? Because our dreams are not, we are not prophets. Our dreams are not wahi. Shaitan can come and say, I do istikhara today, and the night shaitan can come in my dream and say, yeah, you've done istikhara, this is very good for you what you've done, do it. And I, in the morning, saying, I have guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go forward. And then it ends up in disaster, and then not actually only I will lose my whatever materialistic benefits, but I will lose maybe iman. My iman will be in danger. I will be thinking, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not guide me. Wrong. So this is how shaitan plays with people when they use their own opinions. When they leave the sunnah and they add things for themselves. When Prophet ﷺ finished the dua there, and the companions did not add anything to it, why shall me and you add anything to it? That do this, do that, you will see this dream, you will see that dream. No, dream is not concerned there. It can be a part, but it is not. So never think that you will, angel will come to you and say, yes, this is a green signal, or you will see, hear something, that do it. Don't expect. That's why people are frustrated from istikhara, because they are using it wrongly. They sleep and maybe they don't see dream. And tomorrow they say,
I'm not sure what to do. I'm not seeing a dream. I'm not saying this. No, I have no. I'm still confused. Well, they are wrongly understood. That's why they're confused. So what is the right thing? Like I mentioned to you, that there are three things mentioned in that dua which I just translated for purpose. That if you mentioned firstly, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, you said that Allah, if it's better for me, this matter, make it easy for me, facilitate it for me. And so this means that if you intend to do something and a career or you want to apply for a job, in your practical life, when you are awake, not sleep, you apply for jobs, for example, for this career or that job, or marry, or you propose different marriage. If it becomes easy for you, things are coming together automatically, you are seeing the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the things are coming together, this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, you can go. And the second part of the dua I said, وَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ شَرٌ لِي فِي دِينِ. And O Allah, if you know that this is evil for my this life, for my akhirat and for my end, فَصْرِفْ عَنِّي, remove it away from me and remove me. And if you propose something, you write in applications, whatever you're doing, and wherever you want to go, you get all the means together and then they fall. You get all the things together, then there's so much severe obstacle, a hurdle after a hurdle, and it's becoming very difficult for you, and it's very hard that you can't see why it's not working for you. This is a sign now, okay, don't go this way. And then, on thirdly, it is said on the end, that, O Allah, if it's bad for me, then guide me somewhere where it's good for me. Thirdly, there will be a third door open for you. Inshallah, you will see. And practically you will do this, you will see. There will be a third way open for you, and there goodness will lie for you in there. So, this is what's mentioned in the dua, the translation of the dua of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The way, and to benefit from it is also mentioned in the dua. We never read the translation of the dua, we thought it's like a magical thing, by mantra, I'm putting it, it will happen something. Duas are not that. Duas are something to be understood and to be applied in your inner self. And the way and the technique how to benefit from this dua is in that dua, is in that the translation of that dua, is no additional thing. So people who add different opinions to it, they don't benefit from the translation of the dua, and then they have to think, we have read the dua, how shall we benefit now from istikhara? And then so this is a good thing. Allah SWT normally guides people by dream sometimes, yeah, dream is a good way. There's no other way. Over angels, no. No, neither an angel will descend on you, and neither authentic dream you can guarantee that is definitely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you are not a prophet, and I am not a prophet. Yes, in the practical terms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you. And if you will, inshallah, need more, little bit more understanding, I will, inshallah, you can individually ask me to elaborate. There's one important thing left from the dua. Inshallah, after namaz, 5-10 minutes, inshallah, I will finish that. We don't want to miss the Jamaat prayer. And if anyone, you want to go home, and they have something to do, or they need to go now, don't worry, it is recorded, and you will, inshallah, be able to listen to it, and benefit from it. But if anyone wants to ask any question, comment, or any other thing, they can always come back after the Isha prayer. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I have read the note sent from the sisters of say something about Muharram. So inshallah next week inshallah I will say something about the significance of Muharram and what message lies for us in there. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Please proceed to the mosque now. If she wants to do wudu, do wudu. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallim ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. Up to now, whatever has been said, if anyone
have not understood apart from it or some part of it, please do put your hand up. We can I can re-explain it in another way.